Welcome to Fire Protection Insights, the fire safety podcast brought to you by Ferguson Fire and Fabrication, the leader in fire protection innovation.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Justin Hassel, Business Development Manager here at Ferguson Fire and Fabrication. Today, we're exploring the world of fire protection design with a focus on MicroBEM Fire's groundbreaking software. Joining me on the podcast is Micah Davis, our Senior Manager of Design and Engineering Operations for Ferguson Fire and Fabrication. Micah and I will be digging into all the ways that MicroBEM Fire is changing the game in fire system design with its powerful tools and innovative solutions. Micah, welcome to the show.
Hey, Justin, good morning. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I want to kick things off. Before I ask for a little bit of history about yourself, I'd love to give a little history of myself. The topic we're covering today is pretty relevant to me. Just so the viewers know, I've been doing fire protection for 17 years now, 7 years with Ferguson, but prior to that, 10 years as a contractor and 8 years doing fire sprinkler design. So this topic today is pretty relevant for me. And Mike, I know it is for you. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your current role at Ferguson Fire and Fab?
Yeah, sure. So started with design right out of college. I was actually taking college classes. My degree is in psychology, but my dad was working for a plumbing company that had a fire sprinkler department. And so they were looking for designers. I could make more money doing that than psychology. So I jumped into design. I started in the field for a few months just to learn the ropes and then immediately started learning design. So that was a little over 25 years ago now. So I've been in design for quite a while. A couple years here and there doing some other things, but mostly in fire sprinkler design.
You don't look old enough to be doing this for 25 years, Micah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can't believe it sometimes either. I'm like, are you serious? So, yeah.
I'll reiterate too, Micah, we've got similar backgrounds. You know, I started in the field as well and due to my father-in-law. So he just retired 43 years in this industry. So yeah, I think a lot of us can probably agree it is a very tight niche industry, a lot of family in it. And I'm sure that's probably how a lot of people got into it to begin with.
Yeah, most of the people I talk to in this industry, family is the culprit for bringing them into the industry. So it's all good though. I mean, and that's one of the things I love about the industry is the family feeling of it. I mean, I know you find that in a lot of construction, but it seems to be especially true in fire sprinkler. I think because it is so niche, you kind of have to know somebody that's in to get in. And that's kind of one of the ways it works out.
Yeah, it's a small world.
Yeah, it really is.
So today, our primary focus is on MicroBEM Fire, which first started as a tool to simplify pipe fabrication. Micah, I would like to first start with some history of fire protection software. I know you and I got to chatting about this the other day, and just so our viewers and our listeners kind of have some background on this before we dive deep into what MicroBEM offers. Can you give us a little take on where the history kind of where software comes from for our industry?
Sure. I mean, I'll give what I know about it. I mean, as I said, 25 years is not long enough to go back all the way to where it all began, but I know some things. You know, originally fire sprinkler systems were installed. The design was done with hand drawings. So on the board is what we call it in the industry, using paper and pens and pencils, just laying those systems out on those. And even the calculation portions were done by hand for years in the beginning. So I think along the way, the first things that started to become computer-based were the hydraulic calculations. And so taking advantage of the computations and the computer's ability to do those complex evaluations. So based on what I know about it, sometime in the 80s, AutoCAD came out in the 80s, right around the time, late 70s, early 80s. AutoCAD comes along. People in all construction industries and in design start trying to figure out ways to use this computer-aided design software that's new to the market during that time. So eventually fire sprinkler guys started using that instead of the paper drawings. I think in the late 80s, some of the first players come on the scene. I know there's Fire ACAD is one that was there back during that time. HydroCAD came out during that time. So some of the listeners may be familiar with some of those softwares. And then along the way, all these were AutoCAD based. HydroCAD and then SprintCAD came along, which is now a Johnson Controls or Tyco software.
And then AutoSprint, right?
Yeah, and then it comes. Then AutoSprint comes along sometime in the 90s. It's a standalone design software. It is different than the AutoCAD-based functions. AutoSprint has the 3D capabilities and 3D. You design in 3D with AutoSprint. And then in 97, Revit begins to be developed. And so what Revit kind of changes the whole game for design for all disciplines in construction design.
Yeah. And I know, like, regards to our industry and fire protection, right? We're always kind of the last of the party when it comes to coordination with overhead layout. And, you know, I think we can all agree that fire protection kind of got migrated into the Revit via some plugin software. So it wasn't really smooth at the time. I don't know that it really is today any smoother. But, you know, maybe if you can divulge a little bit on MicroBIM and walk us through kind of how it evolved into the software suite of modeling, fabrication, hydraulic calculations.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I mean, Revit was not developed with fire sprinkler design in mind. So they started with architects. So really focusing on the tools for walls and roofs and floors and those kind of things, moving on to structural engineering where they get the structure in there. And then they started with the systems that go in the building. But fire sprinkler is still not on the radar for Autodesk itself. I mean, there are some components you can certainly place a sprinkler head with a native Revit tool. You can draw piping with native Revit tools, but Revit is not and will never be natively set up so that you can design fire sprinkler inside of Revit. That's just not a focus of Autodesk, who owns Revit. And so that's where tools like MicroBIM comes along. And so the folks that developed MicroBIM, they started development back in 2017. I mean, it was a design firm actually in Australia, a group of guys that were doing design for the contractors down there. And, you know, they were using some of the tools that are available, some of the softwares that we mentioned available at the time. But a lot of the design teams they were working with were using Revit already for design. So the architects, the engineers were using Revit. And so they realized, hey, there should be a way for us to get this design done in Revit. And it would really help integrate us with the other trades that are involved. And so in 2017, they just started, hey, what would it look like if we just started building a Revit plugin to help us get this done? And so they started with stock listing, the process of developing the fabrication reports so that a fabrication shop could prefabricate the sprinkler system. And then from there, it just began to grow. So that started in 2017, and they, over the course of just a few years, they basically took over the market there in Australia and New Zealand. And so MicroBIM is the top-selling fire sprinkler design software in those markets currently. In 2020, we began to work on the Imperial. So I wasn't involved in those initial stages. I got involved with MicroBIM as a designer myself, trying to design in Revit and being a bit frustrated with the tools that were available there. And so I found these guys on YouTube.
Okay. I was about to say, like, that's Australia's a little far away. I was just trying to figure out how in the world you make that connection, right? But I'm sure, like any fire protection designer, right, you've gone online, you've joined a chat forum or whatever to ask a question. I know that's how I've found many of friends over the years in our industry today, right, is, hey, I've got this weird scenario, guys. What do y'all think? That's interesting. So I guess, you know, one other question I would have is MicroBIM Fire's key strengths and its abilities, right, to streamline the Revit program that we're working in today. Are there some specific ways it simplifies fire sprinkler design compared to traditional methods?
One of the great things about designing in Revit, and one of the reasons I chose to adopt Revit design early, at least earlier than the rest of the industry, I started designing in Revit back in right around 2010, right in that area. And because I saw that it was the future of design. And so we need to figure out how to get there, how to be using the software. So initially it was fits and sputters for me in Revit design. But once some of the other tools started becoming available, we were designing there. And the great thing about Revit is it's essentially a huge database of information. And so what you see when you're designing is the program is giving you a window into that database. And so because it's a database, there are lots of parametric connections between the elements you're seeing on the screen and their characteristics. And so Revit does a great job of capturing all of that information. So not only does it know size and those kind of things, but it can tell you information about the materials used. It can tell you information about the connections between other elements in the model. And this is just an opportunity for us to use that data to our advantage in design. So one of the things that is difficult to do inside of Revit just by itself is make all these connections with all the different components that are in a fire sprinkler system. So you got sprinkler heads, you got flex drops, you got valves, you got fittings, all these things need to connect. And Revit gives you the ability to draw that and in some cases automate some of those connections. But what MicroBrim brings to the table is the ability to understand the connection that's needed for a fire sprinkler, for instance, as opposed to another piece of pipe. And so where with Revit, you might draw in the connections and it would put in some pipe to create that connection. Or if you wanted to put a flex drop, you would manually draw the flex drop in the Revit tools. What MicroBrim does is it allows us to tell the system, hey, I want to connect all my pendant heads with flex drops. I want to connect my uprights with sprigs, hard pipe. And then we can connect a bunch of sprinklers all at one time using those settings. So those are the kinds of things that MicroBrim brings to the table.
So today, and you'll just have to refresh me because it's been 7 years now since I've played around with it. Today, if you're in Revit, does it identify, you know, piping and components? Like you mentioned, you know, MicroBrim being able to kind of do that. Is that kind of one of the key links that it's putting together there?
Yeah, in some respect. I mean, Revit's a very powerful tool. And really, one of the advantages of a tool like MicroBrim is to take all of that power and harness it to what we're actually trying to get done. Right. And so that's one of the key things. And so while Revit certainly does keep track of whether it's a sprinkler or, you know, whether it's a piece of pipe or a fitting, Revit does keep track of all that stuff. What Revit also does is just give us options for a whole bunch of things that we can assign to that. And so sometimes, so if we were trying to use Revit without some kind of plugin, we're going through all of those different parameters and all those different characteristics, and we're trying to manually understand the connections. And when I say connections, I don't mean physical connections. I mean the connections between the data, right? And so what MicroBrim helps us do is helps us process that information and actually use that information to be able to design efficiently. So again, we can make connections to sprinkler heads based on what type of sprinkler head it is. We can make connections to pipe. We can identify. One of the other key benefits, one of the other examples of the way MicroBrim streamlines it, if I want to align my sprinkler system with a sloped roof, for instance, there's a challenge to doing that inside of Revit because we have to understand what the slope is and we have to draw it in. There's nothing natively. We would have to do it manually if we were just using Revit by itself. But what MicroBrim does is it gives us a tool that we can elevate our pipe to the slope of the roof, and it really helps us streamline that process.
So like, you know, as we talk about the impact of MicroBrim on fire protection design and engineers and their workflow, I think you're probably kind of diving into that already, but are there some measurables that you can tell us that improvement in terms of time savings, error reductions, is that kind of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, designing in Revit, I mean, there's definitely a learning curve for Revit. I mean, everybody knows, most people in the industry, at least in design, are aware that Revit is a pretty big program to learn. So it does take time to learn Revit. But what we see, there are some gains in the time it takes. But to be perfectly honest, some of the tools that have been on the market for a long time are effective at getting fire sprinkler design done. So Revit makes us marginally, I think, more efficient and more effective in design. And so there are some tools that help us speed the process up through the design process. Now we can talk about coordination, which is a whole nother conversation. And being in Revit makes huge gains in our ability to coordinate.
Okay. Well, because today that's a big ask, right?
That's right.
I mean, you know, if we're doing large projects and even small projects, they're asking for coordination all the time. It's quite a process. I would say, you know, do you have some examples of kind of how this improves that process, that collaboration between us and the engineers and the rest of the trades?
Yeah, that's 100%. That's really the biggest advantage of being designing fire sprinkler inside of Revit, because that's where really the rest of the industry is, right? So the architects, have long adopted Revit. That's where Autodesk started when they tried to bring this program to the market. Engineers, both structural and system engineers, have begun adopting Revit. Actually, have adopted Revit as a large, at least a majority of them have. And then over the past decade or so, your mechanical trades, plumbing trades, electrical trades have adopted Revit for design. So when we go into a BIM coordination, it is typical that the rest of the team is already designing inside of Revit. And so if we're not designing inside of Revit, we're the lone man out. And so we're having to export our designs from one format into another.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, data transfer, things get lost, things get mixed up. And so for us to be able to design inside of Revit, the same tool that everybody else is using, really gives us an advantage in that, or it gives us the same advantage they have in that coordination process and streamlines.
And I know they've made strides today, right? Like the, you know, HydroCAD and AutoSprint, they're all moving forward. I know when I was using it, it was very much I'm still working in HydroCAD and then I'm plugging in to the model and then I'm clash detection and then I'm coming out of the model. And I'm constantly going back and forth to navigate kind of, you know, where I need to make changes and then what trades I need to look out for. And so, you know, kind of from what I'm hearing from you, this kind of mitigates all that back and forth, right? You're basically working in real time in there and able to kind of create changes on the fly, right?
That's exactly right. So it gives us an advantage to be in there in the mix with everyone else. But the challenge is, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Revit wasn't built for fire sprinkler design. And so we have to figure out how to make all the things that we need work. Because we don't want to then coordinate in Revit and then have to take it back out of Revit to go stock list it or calculate it in another system. And so that's where MicroBIM comes in. So we have, I mentioned the stock listing process. That was really where MicroBIM began. They really wanted to solve that problem. So they could get their designs into the fabrication shops. And then once they kind of got that far, they realized, hey, I mean, the features just started to add on top of that. So, you know, let's bring in the hydraulic calculation piece. Let's bring in the modeling piece. Let's bring in the automated annotations and documentations. There's some tools in MicroBIM that help with that process. And then, as we mentioned, the coordination process, there's some MicroBIM tools that actually streamline the coordination process. So we have some things like tracking clashes inside of Revit instead of having to use a separate software. MicroBIM provides some opportunities for that. And then there's actually some automated clash resolution tools that are part of the MicroBIM package to help us automate that.
So all these tools, I'm just curious, like if I'm in there, right, and I'm going to make kind of the plunge into using MicroBIM, is it customizable? You know, if I'm a fire protection designer and I'm looking to kind of dive into MicroBIM, are there ways that I can set up my program and custom design it to where it's best utilized? I mean, I know today, right, all the programs we have on the market, everyone's, you know, putting tools in everywhere that they use Common, and a lot of it's keystroke entry. But yeah, just curious, MicroBIM, is it customizable in that standard?
So to an extent, absolutely. One of the advantages of the way MicroBIM came to the market is it was really a collaborative effort. And so the guys that wanted the software were not developers, like they were designers. And so they made connections with developers. And so the initial leadership of MicroBIM started saying, hey, we need this tool. Can you develop that? And so what that developed as far as a culture, the way MicroBIM is currently developed, is we're a global software. And so being a global software, we need to be able to accommodate all of the different workflows that our users might be experiencing. So for instance, you know, in the metric world, things are done differently there. What we find is in Australia, they have a different process than the folks over in Europe do. And they have a different process than the folks in Africa does. And everybody has a different process than we do in the United States. And so it's important for us to build into this system as much as possible the ability to accommodate all these different workflows. So to that end, MicroBIM is customizable with the way it's presented now. You have different options that you could turn on and off. You can rearrange things and make it look and feel the way you want it. But then the other advantage, because we recognize this need to be flexible and reactive to what's happening in the market, we've developed an internal culture. MicroBIM has developed a culture that we're going to respond to those requests from our customers as quickly as we can. So if you're in a market and we don't currently have a tool that deals with one particular aspect of what you need in your market, then we welcome you to bring it to our development team and say, hey, we could really use this and this is why. And then, of course, we have to triage those requests, but we try to respond to those as quickly as we can.
That's cool, though, because you get, I think as you look back, the history of fire protection and fire suppression in general, right, is if you look at the original handbook that came out for NFPA, it was small. And then as, you know, all of these advancements in construction and, you know, the architectural features that we have to work around today, that book has grown into many different standards. And I know from a design perspective, it's become quite challenging. And so it's nice to know that as something evolves and it becomes more commonplace, MicroBEM can kind of go in and help create something to kind of mitigate those challenges, right? That's pretty neat. I think if I look back, right, I'm thinking like window sprinklers, you know, it's a challenge. It was a challenge originally to figure that out and then also to place them in a drawing and pipe them up. And it sounds like, you know, if that's something that became more of a prevalent concern, you guys can kind of take that feedback and help produce something that would, I guess, help those better designs. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, and one of the great opportunities that we have with Revit, and one of the things I'm excited about where MicroBEM has started and the future of MicroBEM, is all of the opportunities that Revit, a program like Revit, gives us. So, I mean, because Revit is capturing so much of this data in the background, we can automatically farm information like occupancy hazards out of Revit because we know what the space, you know, the architect develops the model with an identification of what this space is used for. And so we can use that information to understand occupancy hazards. One of the things we currently do with MicroBEM is when you're doing calculations, we have the ability for MicroBEM to actually evaluate the protection area of the sprinkler. And so it'll look for walls, it'll look for other sprinklers, it'll look for other components in the model, and it will tell you this sprinkler is protecting this space based on, yeah. So we can really take advantage of what Revit brings to the table. And one of the things that sets MicroBEM apart, I think, from some of the other tools on the market is a lot of the other systems that are at least widely used in the United States were developed for some other software or developed as a software themselves in the case of AutoSpring. And so as these other groups, as these other software companies are developing for Revit, they're taking a lot of their workflows that they've already built and trying to put it into Revit. They're certainly making workable tools to do that. But the beauty I see in MicroBEM is that it was created initially for the Revit environment. And so it was created with Revit in mind and what Revit is capable of as we go through the development process. And so I think it really gives us an advantage to take to really push the boundaries of what the design software can do and really begin to automate. I mean, we actually have some AI developers at MicroBEM that's trying to use some of those capabilities to build it into the process of layout.
Because I can still remember the days of me having to, you know, create a window box of my coverage area of a sprinkler head. And that,
yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't recognize where the walls are. So I'm still measuring, you know, cause I may be, you know, X 2 inches off or something. Right. And so that seems pretty neat that this can kind of pick up on what the model is defined as, you know, walls and all this other stuff. I mean, it sounds very purpose built, so that's cool. So let's just say I'm a contractor today. Right. And I'm looking to dive into MicroBEM to adopt it. What are the kind of like training and onboarding process? What's there in place that you know, Ferguson provides to ensure a smooth transition? Because I know today, like, people get very comfortable using the same program. I still have friends that they'll want to use XYZ program and they'll want to use Haas calculations, right? So I know it can be difficult to kind of transition into a new platform. So I guess kind of what's that look like? You know, what's the procedure there?
Yeah, right on. So with MicroBEM, we have a fully developed support site. So first of all, I'll start there. We have a site that has not only tutorials and instructions, basically a user manual on a website for the tools that are available with MicroBEM, but it also has a forum where you can ask questions and you can reach out to development and you can create support tickets there. So that's kind of the initial layer of support and training that we provide. We do have a fully developed user manual that we provide to users. So that's another opportunity for them to learn the software. But most importantly, what we've realized is that everybody learns software a different way. Like some people, like for me, the user manual is what I needed. Give me the user manual. Let me go through, let me learn the tool myself. Yeah. But you have others who really learn better with interaction with a instructor. And so what we've developed is we do have a training that we provide to our customers. It is an additional fee because not everybody needs the training or wants the training. So we do make that available at additional cost. But we have it's a virtual training. So we'll do a 3-day course is what we currently have available. But we can also customize that to the needs of the customer. So if there is a more in-depth training on certain aspects, we can accommodate those. But the big piece, speaking of training, and this is kind of the elephant in the room that I think most contractors who are considering Revit have in their mind, is learning the micro BIM tools is one thing, but learning Revit itself is a whole nother animal. And that's really where a lot of contractors are hesitating, because Revit is so very different than any of the other softwares that are on the market now. And so really getting into that environment in the first place is a little intimidating. And so what we're currently working on, and we're in the final stages of making available, is a Revit training that's actually tailored to fire sprinkler design. So what we found for our own folks is trying to teach them Revit using the things that are on the shelf right now. It's just they're learning a bunch of stuff they don't need. So let's try to tailor that training to what a fire sprinkler designer needs. And so we're in the final stages of making that available.
So I remember those days I'd used Navisworks or some other programs, but it's like the moment you step over into that Revit boundary, it's like, okay, what are all these tools? There's so much here. It gets so thick, you get lost into just navigating Revit. And I think I agree with you, right? That's probably a big hurdle, is just accomplishing that first before you start to the races with, micro BIM, because it's probably very familiar in feel and function. And that's, probably the least of the training. I would say the Revit piece is probably pretty critical. So that's cool. I hats off to you guys for identifying that and then putting something in place for sure. So one question that I think probably gets asked when we talk about new stuff that comes in the market is, are there some real world examples, projects today where micro BIM fire has made a significant difference in terms of like design efficiency and project outcomes? Do you have any of those you can share?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, I come from design. I am a designer. I started using Revit as design for myself and the business I was running at the time. Ferguson Fire and Fabrication acquired my freelance design business back in 2021. And so I came to work for Ferguson. And so right now I manage operations. And so I say all that to say that we get involved in Ferguson Fire Design, which is the group that I manage. We have lots of different types of jobs that come through the doors. And so one of the things that we've done several of over the course of the last several years is big data centers. So we'll design these pre-action systems for data centers. The initial ones that I did personally were, we designed them in HydroCAD, for instance, is a tool that I was using at the time. So a 2D design software, we're elevating it to 3D, we're dealing with slope pipe everywhere. In many cases, we're dealing with slope roofs and ceilings and just lots of things to consider. And so developing the design with those tools was possible, but it was challenging. There were definitely some challenges. Then as we moved into Revit with some of the other tools that were available, we were able to now do it in Revit, which helped to some extent. But there were still some complications when it came to stock listing those models. So we were able to model better, but we still had to get to the stock listing piece. And so some of the things that were available were, we could do it, but it was still challenging, right? And so one of the things that MicroBIM does, and so the real world example is a relatively large data center. I shouldn't say relatively, it was a large data center, several hundred thousand square feet. We were able to design these pre-action systems, slope pipe, slope roofs, get the sprit. We have above and below protection of the ceilings. So we're dealing with the flex drops, we're dealing with the sprigs, we're dealing with all that stuff. And we were able to not only model it efficiently and coordinate it efficiently with the coordination teams, but we were able to stock list it efficiently. And so using Revit and using micro BIM to complete the stock lists, we were able to section the systems up effectively. Get them stock listed with very little issues through the stock listing process, and so really that's what I would point to as a real world example. So those were the jobs that I always had the hardest time with as a designer. We were able to do that very effectively in MicroBIM. And so those are some.
I'll go back. This just made me think as we're talking today, when we're importing our products or our piping network and sprinkler heads and flexible drops, as you mentioned, into the model, into Revit, you know, if other trades are looking at us through their window, are they able to decipher what those items are? Or does MicroBIM kind of cross that hurdle for them? Or I'm just curious.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the beauty of Revit. While MicroBIM helps the sprinkler designer manage that information and presents that information in the ways and in the context that the designer needs, really the Revit database that I referenced is really where the power of that is. MicroBIM just helps the designer view into that database and see the information they really need. But to your point, when you design in Revit, these items, like for instance, a sprinkler head, not only does Revit present either inside of Revit or even if you open it inside of Navisworks and are looking at the model in Navisworks, you can see the properties of that head. It's not just that it's a pendant sprinkler and it's half inch.
Oh, yeah. All the attributions and stuff, right?
Yeah. You can get the model number. You can get the manufacturer. You get the temperature rating.
That's big.
Yeah. The thermal sensitivity, all of those things, the finish. All of that stuff gets written into that element inside of Revit's database. So even if you're accessing the model through something like Navisworks, you can get to that information in the model. So yeah, other trades can see if there's a piece of pipe running through there. We try to use colors in the industry when we're coordinating because it helps us, you know, keep track of which system it is. But if you see a red piece of pipe running through there that represents a sprinkler main, you can click on it and it'll tell you the size of the main, the type of pipe it is, whether it's Schedule 10. Schedule 40 or galvanized or black, you know, I could tell you all of that information just by clicking that element in the model.
That's cool. So I guess, Micah, you know, a question as we start to expand is looking ahead, you know, how do you see software solutions like MicroBIM Fire kind of shaping the future of fire protection systems and designs? And are there upcoming features and innovations that you can share with us particularly excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that excites me about where we are with this development is the opportunities that we have in the future. The information that we have available to us in these models really opens the door to a lot more that we can do with automation of layout and calculation and even stock listing. I mentioned earlier the ability to identify the actual coverage area of the sprinkler. There's no reason we can't get to a place where the software is able to more automatically identify remote areas in a building with very little user input. And so rather than us going through and using our engineering knowledge to identify where that remote area, we feel like that remote area might be, the system can evaluate the entire network and identify to us, hey, these are your most demanding sprinkler heads based on
that. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I know that was always one challenge for me is, okay, well, you know, I've laid this out and that seems like a remote area. Well, technically system demand's showing me that's the remote area. And then you got a fire official saying, well, I want to see that as the remote area. So it's like, that would be neat to sit there and say, okay, well, the software's deemed that as the remote area. You know, it's kind of, it's looking at this way beyond what I can compute.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the advantage of using the computer aided design. I mean, I think that's what people recognize decades ago, that we're never going to take the engineer out of the picture, right? We're never going to take the designer out because you still need that human interaction to evaluate what the data that the system is bringing to you. And so you need that person, that actual individual there to do that. And that person with knowledge. I mean, so all of that stuff will remain in the industry. We just want to take better advantage of the computer's ability to process large amounts of data at one time. And so that's where the computer has the advantage over us, is it can process that data in a matter of seconds that might take us hours to work through.
Oh, I remember those days. Yeah. So when I started, and of course, I didn't start when you did. I'm not trying to age you, but
yeah, that's all right.
When
that's
I first right. came into it, right? And I think this was probably 2009, 2010 when I started design. You'd have to lay out a system. And I know I've talked to many people today, right, about their experiences, their history on this. But if you laid out a system and you had to do hydraulics, or you were using the software to do hydraulics, you very much hit the button and then you had to go find something to do for an hour or so. So that was like, don't mess up. Like, it better be set up right. And you better have your T's crossed and your I's dotted. And now today we're just clicking away, calculate, 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 right? And so that's kind of like, we've come quite a long way. And it sounds like this is definitely pushing those boundaries even further, which is cool because I do agree with you, right? There will always be a need for that human element. I mean, we are looking at things with regards to, you know, other trades to, you know, lastly, even aesthetics. I mean, even though we're life safety, we have to be cognizant of that, right? Lining heads up with light fixtures and what have you. It's not all just computer algorithms in there. So I do think the human touch is there to stay, but I think some speed and efficiency is always needed because it's not like there are a growing batch of fire protection designers in our world today. They're hard to come by. And so I think more efficiency we can build into the programs we use, the better. And MicroBIM sounds like it is definitely leading that. And it's definitely open to innovation as well, which is great. I know some of the other softwares, it's very much parameter based. So it's work with the tools that you have. So that's cool. That's cool. So, well, Micah, I know, you know, you've been great today as a guest for us. And I want to just thank you so much for joining me today on the show. Once again, you know, if you want to explore the benefits, all the benefits that MicroBIM has, the fire software, reach out to us. It's an amazing program. And I just want to thank the audience for listening in. Don't forget to subscribe and so you don't miss a show. You know, we've got plenty more coming. Fire Protection Insights is new here. And we encourage everyone to kind of leave us some comments. We'd love to do some follow-up with our listeners. So yeah, Micah, thanks again. You've been great. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was fun, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Once again, I'd like to thank Micah Davis for joining me on the show today, exploring all the benefits that MicroBIM Fire software has to offer. And thank you to our audience for listening in. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Until next time, I'm your host, Justin Hassel, and this is Fire Protection Insights, the fire safety podcast, brought to you by Ferguson.